Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, we'll be reading Psalm 98 in its entirety, verses 1 through 9, and that will be our text for this morning. As we think about what it means to live from Advent to Advent, Advent coming, that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we began reading then in Psalm 98 and verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, you have spoken. You have revealed to us in your word all that you would have us know for salvation. Thank you for giving us this truth. Thank you for revealing to us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now as we think about these words that you have given to us to rejoice in the righteousness that you have given us in Christ, to shout joyfully to you, the Lord, for you are the King. And help us then to anticipate, to long joyfully for the time in which you will come to judge the earth with righteousness and all the peoples with equity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Psalm 98 is a psalm upon which three well-known hymns are based. But the best known of these hymns is Joy to the World. We're going to sing, Lord willing, here in a little bit as we conclude our service today, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. This hymn written by Isaac Watts was based on this psalm, and particularly verse 4, Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth, break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Now, around this time of year, around Christmas time, we sing a lot of songs in our home, and we sing them throughout the year, but this is one of our favorite, particularly at this time of year. Just singing it is a great joy. It's an upbeat tune, the words that speak of the glory of our Lord coming to the earth, being received as her King. It makes me, at least, want to desire greatly to rejoice and to respond with both heaven and nature and to sing His praises, to sing His praises. But did you know that this hymn is not only or even primarily a song that deals with the first coming of Jesus Christ at His birth? It's often sung, at least Joy to the World, that a great hymn that is based upon this is often sung at this time of year, around Christmas. But although it certainly has application to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it also speaks of this future event. Verse 9, He is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. It speaks of a future coming, one which we all still await. One that will see the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth, not as a humble child in a manger, but as a conquering king upon a white horse. He is coming. Now, Psalm 98, in context here, is located in what is known as the fourth book of the Psalms. This section of the Psalms is generally divided out into five books. Book 4 focuses on the maturation of God's people as they are directed away from hope in an earthly kingdom and toward hope in God's eternal kingdom. And Psalm 98 is found in this section within Book 4, Psalms 93 to 100, which are known as the royal psalms. In fact, in the psalm that we have just read, we're told in verse 6 that we are to shout joyfully before the Lord the King. The Lord the King. Now, as Old Testament Israel would have read this psalm, they would have rejoiced in the things that God had done, the marvelous things, particularly their deliverance out of Egypt. But they would have looked forward. They would have looked forward to the coming of the Lord as that King who would rule over His people, who would judge His enemies. Certainly, they looked forward to the first coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord Jesus, and His birth. But now Jesus has come. His birth has passed. How then do we come to this psalm? How does it apply to us? How do we live, as it were, between the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, His first coming, and His final coming? And this psalm can help us to understand how we are to live, to guide us in that. And the primary importance for us in this time as we live between His first and second coming is to know how we are to live in joyful anticipation. In joyful anticipation. Because as those of us who have experienced, who live after the first coming of Jesus Christ, we live in joyful anticipation of His second coming. And yes, even of the coming judgment. And so that's what I want to look at with you this morning. How it is and why it is that we live in joyful anticipation of the future, of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we live now from Advent to Advent. And the first thing we see is that we live in joyful anticipation of future victory. Notice in verse 1 of this psalm, we are told, instructed to sing. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Why? For He has done marvelous things. He has done marvelous things. So the reason that we can joyfully anticipate this future victory is because God's past victory assures us of it. We look back at what God has done. He has done marvelous things. The psalmist goes on in verse 1 to tell us that His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. It's important to understand what the psalm is telling us. Notice what is not said. Our works, our strength gained the victory. We're not even mentioned here because we don't gain the victory, do we? We're recipients of the victory, but we did not gain it. It is the work of God. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. God alone gains the victory, and therefore God alone gains the praise. God has done this. And God has done this in spite of our sin. God is faithful even when you and I are not. He is faithful to His word. But what is this victory that has been gained? Well, as Israel would read this and they would think about this, one of the greatest victories in the history of Israel is the victory over Pharaoh and over Egypt. As God's people were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh. As they were delivered through the Red Sea. As they were then delivered and ultimately brought into the land. But also they were delivered by judges and they were delivered by King David. Ultimately delivered out of captivity. Able to return to the land. So Israel would have looked at this deliverance, would have thought about the marvelous things that God had done, how He had gained the victory. But we who live now, we understand that we who are in Christ have gained the victory in Him. In Christ we have deliverance from sin, death, and Satan. We're delivered from the penalty of sin right now. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're also delivered from the power of sin. Sin has no more power to rule over us even now. We can say no to it. We can resist the devil and he has to flee from us. But the one thing that we're not yet free from is the presence of sin, death, and Satan. That is yet future, but it will come. He has gained the victory. But there is coming a time when He will come to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equity. There is coming a time when we will be fully delivered. Not simply from the penalty of sin. Not only from the power of sin, but from the presence of sin itself. We don't even know what that looks like. None of us have lived in a sin-free environment. But that's where we are headed. There's a day that is coming when sin's presence will be no more, when Satan's temptations will be no more, and when death will be no more. It is coming. And the Lord has made His salvation known. Look in verse 2 of Psalm 98. The Lord has made known His salvation. His righteousness He has revealed in the sight of the nations. The righteousness of salvation. A righteousness that does not come from within us, but comes from another, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul brings that out in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek." So clearly God has revealed His righteousness in the sight of all the nations. And in verse 3, "All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Here we have a foreshadowing, not only of the salvation of the Jews, but also of the bringing in of the Gentiles into the fullness of God's people. This is the breadth of salvation to the ends of the earth. But how are we brought in together with those of Israel? We're brought in by His righteousness, not our own. Paul brings that out in Romans chapter 1. He says, "For in it," that is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to salvation, "in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Why are you righteous before God? Only for the sake of Christ's merits. Only because you have true faith in Him. Only because you have been engrafted into Christ and receive all His benefits. That's it. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Come to Christ and receive from His hand. God has in the past gained the victory, and that assures us of a future victory. And we express joy now in anticipation of that future victory. We're called to express that joy here. After everything that is recounted in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 98, we see in verse 4 this call to praise God. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." There's an expansion here as the psalmist continues. Not only the house of Israel. Yes, God has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. But all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Therefore, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. And what are we to shout joyfully back in verse 1? Sing to the Lord a new song. A new song. Now, what does the psalmist mean? Because here is a call to fresh expressions of joy. And what the psalmist means by a new song, it can include one composed for the occasion. And it's right to do that. As God works in history, new songs are composed. But it is also then referencing a song that is sung with a new heart. A new song. A non-believer may sing the same words after conversion, but it is not the same song, is it? It is sung with a new heart. I love what Matthew Henry says of this. "If the grace of God puts a new heart into our chest, it will also put a new song into our mouth." That's the reality. And every victory of God calls for a song. And not just a song that is sung timidly, but we're told here, "Shout joyfully." Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Shout. This is a call to exuberant and even spontaneous joy. Rejoicing in what God has done. Now, have you ever had this experience? I know I have. Have you been reading Scripture and have you had in your heart well up such joy that you had to stop and worship God? I have. It's wondrous. I got to stop reading because I need to sing. I need to rejoice. That should not be abnormal in the Christian life. We are to shout joyfully to the Lord. There's a call here to musical expression. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm. I love music. And if you play a musical instrument, use it to God's glory. If you don't, learn one. But even if you never learn to play a musical instrument, God has gifted you with one, your voice. Use it. It's a beautiful thing to hear the voices of God's people united in His praise. And that's what we're called to do here. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Make music to Him. And it is in His presence. Look with me at verse 6. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Trumpets and the sound of a horn would often be used as a new king ascended to the throne. They would blow the trumpet. They would announce his coming with the horn. And it's interesting that the same language used here, particularly in verse 4, the shout joyfully is the same language that is used in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. As we read these words, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when hosannas were raised, when a joyful shout was raised, the king was coming. And we're commanded to do this. Deuteronomy 12:12, God tells us that we shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And not only us, but our family, your sons and your daughters, and all those in the household, your male and female servants. All are commanded to rejoice before the Lord your God. And so here we see at the culmination of this second section in the psalm, verses 4 through 6, that we are to shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Before the Lord the King. Notice how this joy expands in this psalm. Notice how it begins with singing this new song to the Lord for all that He has done, and then it expands as His righteousness is revealed in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That then all the earth, in verse 4, is called to shout joyfully to the Lord. But it expands even further. Not only are we as God's people to be singing His praise, but now that the news has gone out of this salvation to the ends of the earth, creation itself, poetically, is brought in to join us in praise. So not only then do we live in joyful anticipation of that future victory because of God's victories in the past, but we live in joyful anticipation of future restoration. Future restoration. Look with me at verse 7. We see here that the sea will roar in all its fullness, that is, everything that is within it. The world, that is the earth, the land, and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Now we as God's people, we await the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we long for it because this world is not our home. Think about it. We are not designed, created to live in this world. We are designed to created and created to live in a world that is without sin. Sin has entered. But for those who are in Christ, this world is not our home. This world was never intended, this world in its current state was never intended to be the home of humanity. We were created to live in a sin-free, death-free environment, and we will. Creation knows this. Creation longs for it. Creation groans in anticipation of this restoration. Here in Psalm 98, we see the sea roaring, the rivers clapping their hands, the hills rejoicing together. Paul speaks of this longing of creation in Romans chapter 8. Listen to these words. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Paul says that the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. There's a hope here. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's the picture here that the psalmist brings out of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sea will roar. Everything in it will rejoice. The earth and all those who dwell in it. Why? Because creation itself is going to be released from bondage along with the people of God. C.S. Lewis gives a great picture of this in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. If you've read that or if you've watched the movies, when Aslan is raised from the dead, something starts to change. The snow and the ice start to melt. Green appears. Flowers grow. Trees blossom. So it will be with the new creation. What's that going to be like? I don't fully know. Because I've only lived in a world with sin. But it's going to be wondrous. It's going to be wondrous, so wondrous that we, along with creation, will rejoice at this restoration. We live in joyful anticipation of this future restoration. Creation itself longs for this restoration. We live in this time after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and before His second coming. We have now received the victory in Him through the cross. But we long for that future victory to come. We long for the restoration of all things. But there's one other thing that we long for. We long for judgment. Now that may sound strange to your ears. We've already been judged and found innocent in the cross, yes. But we live, even so, in joyful anticipation of future judgment. And we see that as we conclude this psalm in verse 9. We see that He is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Now why do we live in joyful anticipation of this judgment? We live in joyful anticipation of this judgment because at the coming of Christ, all those who are in Christ will be acknowledged publicly as innocent. We are innocent now. There is no condemnation for us. Our judgment has been taken fully at the cross. But when He returns, as God remembers, verse 3, His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel, all the ends of the earth will once again see the salvation of our God. All creation, all the holy angels, all of the fallen angels, all those outside of Christ, and this is a call to those of you who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, a judgment is coming. We who are in Christ can rejoice now because we know that the victory is ours. We know that by the cross we have obtained salvation. But if you're outside of Christ, then you will not be publicly acquitted of all wrong, but all of your wrong will be brought in the courtroom of God's justice to bear down upon you. And there will be no escape. He is coming, make no mistake, to judge the earth. With righteousness He shall judge the world and the people with equity. Well, for those who are in Christ, rest assured, your judgment is done. Christ took it upon the cross. And what's going to happen in that day is we will be publicly acquitted of all wrong. Everyone who accused us in this life will be shown for who they are. We live in joyful anticipation of this future judgment because we know that we are innocent in Christ. But we also live in joyful anticipation of this future judgment because we know that at that time, everything that is wrong will be made right. It's a struggle that we have in this life. We face injustice after injustice after injustice. We're going to learn about that tonight as we look back at the life of Joseph and all of the injustices that he faced from his brothers, from Potiphar's wife. We are going to face injustice in this life, but we know for certain that justice will be done. We simply have to wait for it. We have to be patient, knowing that God will perform His justice in His own timing. But we can even now have joy, even when we're sinned against. We can have joy knowing that that person sinning against us is either going to have their sin paid for in Christ and justice will be served, or they will be held to account for it on that last day. But we ought to pray that they will have their sins, as we have, paid for in Christ, so that they, with us, can rejoice in that day, knowing that they are not facing any condemnation. So as we think about Psalm 98, we think about living as those who now live between two advents, between the first advent or the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the second. We live now with detailed knowledge, don't we, of the things that the Lord has done, the marvelous things that He has done through the birth, life, death, resurrection of His Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that in Christ He has gained the victory. We know that it is not our doing. We cannot save ourselves. We know that it is His right hand and His holy arm that has done this thing. Therefore, as we come to Psalm 98, we do long to fulfill this command. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Even this day, sing to the Lord a new song. Shout joyfully to Him. Make music in His presence, for He is the Lord, the King. And we sing rightly of His first coming, but our song is not finished yet, is it? Oh, we have a song to sing. We are joyfully anticipating that time where we will sing together at His second coming. And we long for this second coming. We long for this second coming. We anticipate it because we understand and we will rejoice in the full revelation of God's salvation, not only to us by His Spirit, but to all the earth. Creation longs for this to happen. We long for it with creation because we desire to live in the world for which we were created to live. A world free from not simply the penalty of sin, the power of sin, but the very presence of sin, death, and Satan. And we anticipate a future judgment, one in which those of us who are in Christ will be acknowledged as completely innocent before all the world, and that every wrong will be made right. Now, given these truths, given these great and glorious truths, how can we not sing to the Lord a new song? How can we not shout joyfully to the Lord? Therefore, let us sing with all of our strength. Let us not sing half-heartedly. Let us sing with joy. Let us not be timid in our songs, for the songs that we sing now are but a rehearsal, brothers and sisters. They are but a rehearsal, a prelude to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. And so let us sing to the Lord a new song. Why? Because He has indeed done so many marvelous things for us. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us. Help us to know the marvelous things that You have done for us as Your people. Help us to know that it is by Your right hand and by Your holy arm that You alone have gained the victory, that we contributed nothing to it. And as we now, those who live between the first coming of our Lord and His second, we do so in joyful anticipation. We long to sing Your praises, to shout joyfully to You, our Lord, our King. In Jesus' name, amen.